a goodbye party of what was happening, you know, and all that. So I thought just for a few moments we might think about this back and forth. Of course, using the Word of God on some of the things that we can, and others we'll just ask the Lord to help us think through this and how it might apply. The first one to me is the scene in heaven itself, as we've already mentioned. So now we're with the birth. We know the angels came and they're excited. So I'm going to say this based on the Word of God, not my opinion, that heaven was excited about all of this. I'm sure the angels weren't sure about everything. In fact, the scriptures talk about that. I'm not making that up either. They look and observe and wonder about all these things. Angels. But yet they're excited and they're proclaiming and they're like, whoa! Did you wake up this morning and go, whoa! I did not. But maybe I should in my spirit. And so I'm thinking about heaven. Were there tears of joy? Were there tears of pride? Was the Father like, look at my son. Look at that. Willing, planned from the foundations of the world. Willing to come. That's amazing. But what was it like on earth? Well, honestly, if you study the story, it really wasn't that great for them. Think about it. She's in her... I mean, it was obviously wonderful for Mary and Joseph what was happening, but the human side of it, traveling all that way, going through all that struggle, and from an earthly perspective, people think it really, the king, he's not supposed to be born there. He's supposed to be born somewhere else, like in a palace. Wouldn't you think about that? In your mind, where should the King of Kings and Lord of Lords come into this earth? Maybe in a palace. Maybe in where there's wealth and food and all influence and all these things. And yet God chose this. Chose this. So we have heaven's perspective and earth's perspective. And all these things surrounding the birth, the difficulties of trying to find a place. Have you ever been out on the road driving back from a long weekend somewhere? Or maybe you're on vacation and you wanted to get home, but you knew you weren't going to make it. And so you tried to find a hotel and you couldn't find one. We have. We went literally from town to town to town, some of them 2 hours apart, trying to find, and only to realize there was some convention going on in the entire Midwest of America. In all the hotels, there was no room for the Treadways in the inn. It's hard. I mean, you go, well, I guess I'll drive through the night. That's not ideal, but it was hard. For them, it's more than just a drive somewhere. They were out in weather. They were unprotected, so to speak, humanly speaking. We know they were protected by God. And all these things are going on. So from an earthly perspective, the surroundings didn't really scream king unless you knew the word from the prophets of old who had talked to the folks, and actually they still speak to us, don't they, today, about how all this would transpire. So we have heaven's perspective, earthly's perspective. Huh. And yet heaven, they didn't consider the manger that big of a deal. Because to them, I'm thinking, now this is my thoughts, it wasn't so much the surroundings that were important, it was the gift. And we get all upset about this stuff sometimes, but the most important thing is the baby itself. Emmanuel. What does that mean? God with us. Does that blow your mind? God with us. Emmanuel. I think about that, and I think about how on earth it doesn't make any sense that a king should come that way, but from heaven's perspective, it was fantastic. The king's coming. Not to impress you, but as was told, to save his people from what? We got to go there. Isn't that interesting? You can't really celebrate Jesus' birthday without using the word sin. I don't know how you could do it. I suppose you could leave it out. But why did Jesus come? To save us. Why? We needed saving. I love this. Ephesians 1, 3 through 10. The king came to destroy the enemy. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to condemn the sins of the flesh. And all those things we're unable to do on our own. And so here in Ephesians, we have this. Paul starts out with it at the beginning. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed on us in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespass, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. All of it there in the manger. All of that for us. Earth's perspective. What should this king do? Okay, so he's a king. What should that king do? Well, we know from Scripture now, this is the Bible, they had their own ideas of what Jesus should do, right? When he got old enough, what did they want Jesus to do? Draw the sword. Get rid of Rome. We are tired of being ruled. We want to be free. We want to have the kingdom of God rule. We want our freedom, and we want our freedom now. And heaven's perspective is, I am drawing my sword, but my friends, listen, you and I are not enslaved by government. We're enslaved by sin. Government is enslaved by sin. And we get enslaved, but our issue is our heart. Jesus came for that. Well, they didn't like that message too much because, well, some got it, some responded, but they wanted everyone to follow the king and follow the king's rules, but really what they're saying, I want the rules to be according to my desires. Heaven's perspective was, follow the Christ. Earth said, no. I want now, we should just do our best. We should just be our best. And we need more religion is what we need. And Jesus said, no, you need to humble yourself. Trust in me. Less religion, more relationship. Heaven and earth just aren't getting together here. I mean, this is just a few thoughts. Because the point of the whole thing is this. We are dead in our trespasses and sin. We are born dead spiritually. And the only thing that can give us life is faith in the living and resurrected Jesus, Son of God. Amen. That's it. It's not coming to church. It's not having a wonderful family. It's not obeying all the laws of the land or being a great person and reading the Bible. Those things are all good things, but none of them get you to the Father. None of them get you to heaven. Only faith in Jesus Christ. That's it. And that's why he came. And that's why it doesn't happen very often, but it lands on Sunday. I'm so excited to celebrate with you the reason why you and I are even here today. Because Jesus loved you and I so much. Not only did he send Jesus, here's the cool part. He sent someone to you. He did. You think you came by yourself? I don't think so. God sent someone, and probably several messages along the way. Could have been, who knows what it could have. Could have been maybe it started when you were a kid. Maybe it was a youth retreat or a camp. Maybe it was a song on the radio. Maybe you went and visited your friend's church one time. Maybe you were an adult. I don't know what it was, but someone brought the light of the world to you, the message of Christ, the message of the cross, the message of resurrection, that you can come to know him. So my question for you is, are you trusting in the light? Do you know this light? If you aren't today, listen, it could be your birthday. And we'd love to sing happy birthday to you. How do I do that, Pastor? Well, it's not through knowledge alone. The Pharisees, Sadducees, they had pretty good knowledge. No, it's much more than that. It's taking this knowledge and humbling yourself and applying that to you in this way. That Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Christ who died on the cross for your sins and mine and rose again. And by faith, trusting in Him, that's simply believing and trusting in Him and what He has done for you, He can bring you eternal life. Now, in all of that is this big word that gets talked about, but it's an important word, is the word repentance. This is what this means. It is the idea that you are going down your own path, your own way. God brings you the light of truth. You recognize that. You get off the highway you're on. You cross over the overpass. And you go the other direction on the on-ramp. The ramp of Jesus. The ramp of faith. Repentance is a complete turnaround of your thought and your allegiance from whatever it is you're trusting in to Christ alone. For only He could save. That's it. So if you're here today and you need Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you simply just open your heart to Him? Say, Lord Jesus, thank You for the truth that You came, and I don't bring anything but humility before You now. Thank You for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank You for rising again. Thank You for offering me eternal life, and I'm trusting in You, Lord Jesus. Save me, I pray. And He'll do that. And so for you and I, believer, here's the great thing we can do. We can make a decision right now. Not just today, but every day. Let's be the light. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but are there any Christians in here today? Then you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Father in heaven, thank You for the opportunity to celebrate Your birthday. And the reason we're all here today is because You, by Your grace and Your love, came humbly in a manger, lived a life, showed us the way, died on the cross, shed His blood, shed Your blood, and rose again on that third day and offered to us a way to live. If there's anyone here today that doesn't know this, that they'll trust in You today. And for many of us who do know this, may we make this choice to be the light of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. As they're passing out all these candles and things, we're going to be singing a couple songs. Hopefully the candles are long enough. Most of the time they are. But if yours starts to create a wax hand on you, you certainly have permission to blow it out. But we're going to try to make it through a couple songs. We have two of them, right? Yep. And Dan, I believe once we had them all handed out, what we're going to do is we're going to try to, and if you're able to do it, that's fine. If you're not, that's okay too. We're going to try to make one big unity circle all around the back of the church, all the way around the front here. And Dan's going to lead us in some worship songs. And so I think from there, we're good. I just need my candle is all.
Here,
don't want to steal Jesus' candle.
Take this one.
Aren't you going to? Thank you. All right. All right. Are we about there? Why don't we go ahead and make this big circle then, everybody?
Kind of my stand, Beth.
Yeah, we can have a fake one. the fake one?
God, I'm going to have a fake one.
I'm going to burn this one clear.
Mine just went out.
As that light makes its way around, we'll start singing.
Holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error burning, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks fall on your knees, oh heavenly voices, Lord. Tender and mild, slave.
Silent night, holy night, wondrous
Father in heaven, as we unite together as a body, we say thank you for your great love and sacrifice of sending your one and only Son to come here. It's a celebration of heaven, and yet, Lord, you knew from before time began what he would have to go through and what it would cost to give us eternal life. And in the time that Jesus came into this place, the world was upside down and in turmoil. And Father, it is still that today. So with my brothers and sisters, we cry out and pray for peace on earth. Yes. We pray for the stopping of the senseless killings and things that are happening around the world, of the sin that continues to abound both in our nation and around the world. We pray that the light of Christ would come into the hearts, even of those who lead those things. That we would see the mercy and the grace of God, which you bestowed upon Mary and Joseph, be poured out into them. We realize that when we pray this prayer, we are calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ to return. For it's only when he is ruling will there ever be peace on earth. Lord, my brothers and sisters here today, I pray for peace not only in their life, in their very heart, Lord. And I pray that you would bring that peace to them, meet them at their greatest need, and turn us, Lord, today into peacemakers, peace givers. And together we proclaim that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And may that light shine through us. And I do pray one more thing, Lord, that the world know. Let me try this again. That Kokomo may know you by the love we have one for another. For the glory of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, thank you for my brothers and sisters. Bless them and their families. And I say to all of you, a most Merry Christmas. Amen.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.